Gotta thank you and welcome you to another edition of Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, my guest joins me all the way from somewhere in St. Lucia via our platform. And I want to welcome Jamie Ford. Thank you so much for taking this opportunity to speak to us. Jamie, welcome to Youth Unplugged. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. Let's first start off with the usual question. Who is Jamie Ford? Because people might not know you and you're very active in the background. So who is Jamie Ford?
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Who is Jamie Ford? Boy, that's a question. Dancer, violinist, conductor, part-time singer, music tutor, music teacher. Yeah, and the list. Actor. Yeah, okay. All those things.
Very, very much involved in the arts. Can you tell us how this started? What's the background story of this artsy Jamie?
It started with Helen Fook Dancers, actually. I was very small. Probably at 7 years old. I joined Helen Fook Dancers. And I think within a year, I was on stage performing. And that was it. It's like, yeah. That's a place I like to be. And that grew from there with more experience with in different fields, in different areas, and trying my hands out at different things, and just grew exponentially.
That's pretty amazing. So let's talk about baby Jamie in primary school. What primary school was that, first of all?
RC Boys.
Oh, you're representing the RC Boys. Yeah.
St. Aloysius RC Boys Primary School.
Definitely. What was Jamie like? Baby Jamie or infant Jamie like?
Mega, I was quiet. A lot of people, it's like, I was everybody's favorite because as a young boy, didn't used to give no trouble, was just quiet in a corner. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people like that.
What aspirations did little Jamie have?
I honestly don't think I'm not one of them people who grew up and is like, when I get older or when I'm adult or what I want to be in life is this. That was never me. The most I could say was once I was watching Jeopardy, and that week there was Yo-Yo Ma doing a special, and he was in there actually playing the Jeopardy theme song. And from then, all I know is I wanted to play a musical instrument. And that was, let's just say, that was the end of it for me in terms of aspirations at that time.
After St. Aloysius RC Boys School, what was your schooling like after that?
St. Mary's College. Okay. Yeah.
By the way, when we have Sumerians on the house, I've got to ask the most important question that you have to ask every Sumerian. What house were you in?
Tapo.
Yeah, okay.
We recently won the championship, you know. Yeah. Tapo House. Yeah, man. Okay, we got that championship recently.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, all right.
Whatever. Don't be hating us now. We are the most dominant. Let us have our day in the sun, right? All right, cool.
All right, yeah, whatever. at St. Mary's College, how did your love for the arts develop?
Well, that's where that initial dream came to fruition. When I was in Form 1, you know, that when you enter secondary school, they say, okay, join a club, join this. So there's like, okay, there's this secondary school orchestra thing starting up, happening. Would you like to learn a string instrument? I was like, yeah. And that's where it started.
And you know, funny enough, I actually, because we were actually in school together, and I remember I remember when that whole program started, and I was like, just so, and it's amazing to see so many people, the likes of like Yannick James and these yourself, all you guys actually came from this program and actually using that experience now to make a living. So it's one of those moments where you say, I regret not taking that opportunity, but you say it deep down.
I said it's 2020.
Yeah, let's talk about that experience and what was it like. When you first signed up, were you actually playing the instrument as yet?
No, I wasn't doing anything musically, officially, no, nothing. When I signed up, actually, they dropped me. because there was like an initial trial phase, a group phase, and I missed two of the classes. Once because I think I had a breakdown detention, and the other time it was raining, and by the time I left the class to try and get to where the class was happening during school, the rain caught me. I didn't get there in time, and they tell me, well, you missed two classes. These other people have been there, so we're going to have to cut you. And then, like, maybe a couple months later, they call me back, and it's like, well, so all of these people who started have dropped out. Are you still interested? And I was like, yeah.
Wow. So you were like a reject, yeah. And they took you back. Like, wow. we got to give the chance. But was that like when they first cut you from the whole program, did you feel demotivated? Did that say like, wow? Or were you like, oh, okay, Sarah kind of vibe?
Yeah, that's like, well, I mean, I was slightly disappointed because I was really interested. But I was like, well, whatever. That's it. So let's see what else there is to do. And then they called me back. I was like, yeah, okay, cool.
Let's talk about that experience, that whole experience with, you know, learning to play the violin, because, of course, it's not just necessarily a is it? Can I say it's not a traditional instrument, but we have Ramapolio, so maybe it is traditional. I don't know. Correct me where I'm going wrong.
It is considered one of the traditional folk instruments, right? Because all the way back, that's actually why they started the orchestra program, is to encourage the development of more violin players so that there'd be a continued tradition of violins in folk band. I'm not exactly sure how. I mean, yeah, there are us violinists around who can play the music. I don't know if I can say directly if that impacted the proliferation of more traditional folk bands. But that was the aim. That was the reason, because, it has ties back to slavery and colonial times, and they would teach the slaves how to use the instruments, and the slaves would then use the same instruments and go back in their little camps and then modify the tunes that they were taught and added their African rhythms to it, and then hence where we come from our folk music.
And that's pretty cool. So it's like Mozart on a Denny segment kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's a good put it. Mozart and Denny segment had a baby.
Now, coincidentally, we're actually opening up the Lawas season, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, August is Lawas season, eh? Sure.
Well, I'm still too early, but yeah, we almost there. June, like August, yeah.
So we're on the cusp. You're not too early. You get people ready for it, yeah.
And what about you as a young person? Do you still celebrate these flowers, festivals, especially being a Helen folk dancer, a violinist, and still doing the traditional music? Are these things still important to you?
It is important to me. I've not been very active in that part of the folk scene exactly.
Okay.
I mean, there have been opportunities where CDF has had these big public celebrations in the middle of Rodney Bay that I participated in. But it's a very close-knit community kind of thing, where, you know, it's usually people in the community. Well, because the whole flower festival thing is a flower societies, actually, not exactly fest, that brought the festivals, right? So you had this group of people coming together doing this, like, social group economic kind of thing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Based in the church. And that's how that developed and it grew and all the other pieces got added to it, which is why it's still a very community-based thing. So you have Moshi, and then you'll have, I don't want to say anymore, next thing I say the wrong thing. And then
you're right,
money.
Just be careful.
I know there's Moshi for sure. I'm not sure what else they have. So before they come for me, let me leave it there.
Yeah, very well said. Also, you've been part of the Helen Folk Dancers, and now they're celebrating, I think, if I'm right, 30 years going strong, or even more. What was that experience like for you?
Helen Folk was one of the... is one of those placed, I don't know, like it opened a lot of doors for me to a lot of experiences I would not have had otherwise. Like the first time I went to Government House was with Helen Folk Dancers. The first time I left St. Lucia was with Helen Folk Dancers. You know, having gone perform at a hotel, first time was with Helen Folk Dancers. So a lot of my firsts in, first time I went on stage was with Helen Folk Dancers. So a lot of my firsts in the performing arts arena as a result of Helen Folk Dancers.
Nice. That's very amazing. I mean, so what else has your music taken you to? Like, what is the things that stand out the most in terms of the performing arts, travel, major performances, notable performances? Oh my God, I'm taking the stage with XYZ. I don't know. Tell me more.
Okay. So, actually went on a tour to Taiwan a few years ago. Performing 5 different shows across Taiwan with Helen Folk Dancers. Played, that was way back when there was Kalalu, when Salmon's Pack was, with Boo. I played Boo Wings in a few times. Kalalu, one of his December concerts I played with him. Opened up St. Lucia Jazz, the national anthem, a few times. Worked with the concertmaster Paris Symphony in Martinique. Lots of, one of the things I enjoyed the most was when he has these summer programs where you had theater and live music, right? So we would have these summer workshops, and we, so the orchestra would be on one side, the actors would be on the other side, and they bring everybody together, and we'd put on this series of performances over like 2 weeks or something like that, and that was a lot of fun. Actually, that whole workshop in Martinique came about during that entire thing. So it's like we had rehearsal one day, left rehearsal, went to the docks, got on a boat, spent 4 days in Martinique, came back and got picked up and dropped straight to the Culture Center to go and perform.
That's intense. That is intense.
There was this also one time. You know what that intense? One time there's this, I don't know if it's still really active anymore, the Association of Caribbean Music Educators. And they had a conference. They used to have a biannual conference. And they had a conference in Antigua that year. And so there was this big concert. And at that time, I was part of the National Youth Choir. And so here I am, part of the National Youth Choir. We go and do this performance on this private island off the coast of Antigua. And so I'm part of the orchestra, I'm part of the choir and also part of the ensemble. So in between the choir changes, it's supposed to be the ensemble playing. So every time the choir finishes singing for the ensemble to start, I have to run, change fast, come back, play the ensemble, lead the ensemble fast, run back, change, go back in the choir, and that happened a couple of times. And that was over the course of that, so like a one and a half hour program. So it's a lot of these things.
And I'm glad that you said that, they brought up the National Youth Choir. Yesterday during Letla, I actually played a clip because I was part of the original day ones of the youth.
Yeah. People like you. Who inspired me to go and join that
name? Oh, please don't say that. People ask me to sing. Please do not ever say that in public. Like, don't ever say that.
Whoops, it's now on the internet.
Like, don't ever say that in public. So, like, you know what I mean? Being part of the National Youth Choir and all these other youth programs, how did that develop you as a person?
There's a lot of leadership opportunities that come about from these things, because, you know, and the discipline and the responsibility, having to balance off going to school and rehearsals and your own personal practice. So it's a lot of self-discipline building. Actually, for St. Lucia's 25th anniversary, I think his name is the Duke of Edinburgh. He came down, he wanted to have a lunch with 25 of the top outstanding youth of St. Lucia. And I was nominated to go, and I had lunch amongst these people. And it's like, so like a while ago, you're like, okay, what do you do? And then I rattle off my list of stuff. It's like, so what don't you do? So, yeah, it's things like that. It's providing opportunities that I would otherwise not have had, meeting people that I'd have otherwise not have met, going places I'd probably not have gone. And even if I went to those places, the experiences that I would have I had there that I would not have been fortunate to have had, because I would just been average. But then being in that situation, like, for example, that whole tour of Taiwan, when we went to do one of the performances was at the presidential palace or residence, whatever, whichever one is the appropriate title. And it's like, okay, so when y'all come in on the day, y'all going to use the grand staircase, the official entrance, which is only used for dignitaries and diplomats and heads of state. I'm like, wow. Not only did I have to walk around this place and be in this place and perform and eat, but then, you know, this prestigious honor of using the main foyer grand entrance kind of thing, shaking hands with the president, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's that's what it is, you know. And the soft skills you end up developing along the way, because you have to work with all kinds of people, all different characters all the time, so you have to learn how to, okay, check your ego, humble yourself. How am I going to deal with that? How is it going to make the best of the situation? You know, because at the end of the day, when you have the saying, the show must go on, it's not, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. At the end of the day, the show must go on.
Very well said that, Jamie. And even people listening right now, parents, if you have young children, you should encourage them to probably even take on any musical instrument. It might open lots of doors that, like you rightfully said, you would never think they would open.
I think any kind of extracurricular that can be, that can happen on an international level, because I've had students that I taught music who left music and went on to do track and did very well, because it's essentially a similar set of foundational skills personally that you are applying to whatever technical thing you are going to be doing, right? So, yeah, one of the things that breaks my heart every time is that every, like, without fail, whenever children get to a common entrance class or CXC, parents pull them out and it's like, no, they have to focus on that. I'm like, but you're doing the biggest disservice, because at this point is when they need it most, because you, there's the stress, there's their own personal stress to succeed, there's the school stress, there's a societal stress, there's the parental stress, and that little outlet is like a stress relief. They can go and they can just forget about the exam, forget about whatever else, and just be with their peers and just play, or, you know, whatever it is they're doing. And I find that too many people miss an opportunity to teach their children how to balance hectic schedules, work and play in those times. So you find that, okay, be clear in your schedule of anything, all you're doing is work and focus on work, but then now they get to secondary school and they get the higher levels and like, wait, the work does not slow down, but there's other things I want to do as well. So I should have mastered that. I should have at least gotten a handle on that at that point, so that by now, when I get to the higher levels, it's a breeze. I can just apply whatever techniques I was using already. Actually, I had a student approach me sometime, like a couple of years after he left. He left the program. I think he had left secondary school. And he's like, wow, he really regrets leaving and stopping, and he wants to come back, because when he was playing, it was so easy for him to focus, right? And it's those little things that people fail to understand of what's being developed in the background that help make everything else better and easier.
Very well said, Jamie. And of course, for all the parents listening, I hope you guys are taking note. And this is coming from a teacher, so you know what you're saying. Jamie, we just have about like 4 minutes left, and we haven't even gotten into the meat of the conversation. But let's go quickly into your upcoming project, as we, you know, Youth Unplugged is all about business also. Let's talk about the music of business, or the business of music. That's better, a better sense. And your new upcoming program.
So you think you can sing? Yeah. I just trying to give people the opportunity to raise the level of their singing potential in sale around the place, you know. I've worked with, again, a number of different things. I worked in, with Carrie Fester, the last one, a couple of years ago, and I had the opportunity to do some vocal training with the cast, and also a cast of other productions and stuff. And then people telling me, yo, I didn't realize that I had that ability within me. So I want to give people, I can also to just, if you think you have a little something, let's raise it up to the next level. Because no offense to people out there, I've heard a lot of people gain, I've heard, seen a lot of performances and people gain praise for things that I'm like, yo, I've experienced things already, and that's just not on the level. So we're trying to get people on the level. So you think you can sing, check us out. Check me out on Instagram, my page. You can, there's nothing really on there yet. I'm just starting to put stuff on there. So you think you can sing, it's actually SYTYCS758 at Instagram. Yeah, you can go there, check it out, register, send me a message, and come and sing.
Very well said. Jamie, take this opportunity. You did the Instagram, you did the Facebook. Now give people your number so how they can get in contact with you, man.
Oh, yes. 717-8703. Give me a call. 717-8703. Give me a call if you're interested. Individual and group classes are available. Come and like sing by yourself, sing with other people. Like singing is fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Develop your instrument.
I probably need to take a couple lessons.
Come. I'll give you a free lesson.
I'll definitely take that offer. Jamie, in closing, people are listening right now. The young people are listening. They need to be inspired. Leave them with one thing that has inspired you and kept you motivated through the years.
Follow your bliss. Follow your bliss. In everything that you do, if you're not enjoying it, then you're doing the wrong thing, right? I spent years at School of Music conducting the orchestras. Like, yo, you ain't getting paid for that? No, because conducting is supremely what I enjoy doing. And every day I spent doing it made me better. That's going to come. Watch out for that part. That part coming.
What is the point of a conductor? Because to me, if everybody reading music, that's another whole nother conversation. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, you can always invite me back. I'll break it down for you.
Yeah. I just think we're just going to end the interview right here. Jamie, thank you so much for joining me. We really appreciate it. And we wish you all the best in your endeavors, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, brother. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
And I wish you shout me. For you to do that lesson and then come back and tell the people what you think.
Definitely. And we're going to do a before and after.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Goodbye, Jamie. Goodbye. Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.